involved in whatever kids do up there. So, last week, most of us that are here today weren't here. And I want to recap a couple of things. So, Steve and Margaret, probably the only two that were there. But look, I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over it too much because I really believe that we can flow on. But if we can put the overhead up there, Overcomer 3, it was under. And we went through being an overcomer a couple of weeks back and went through a few things. And I noticed in Paul's testimonies, we went through the areas that Paul brought out in his own experience and life that were relevant to not just him, but to others that he spoke to and encouraged us in it. I think it's incredible. And he went through the areas that he spoke of. I know that in my flesh there's nothing good and I'm fighting it constantly. I need to be delivered from this body of death and I want to get over it. But he said, I thank God through Christ Jesus. He gave us an answer. He didn't just lay out the problem. He gave us an answer of how to work through it, knowing that through Christ, through what Jesus did at Calvary, there was always a capacity for us to stand strong in God, stand in the blood, stand covered in the blood, apply that to our lives and be strong in what he wanted to do. Because he said his body and the things wanted its own way all the time. And he constantly had that battle and he constantly wanted to overcome it. And he said, who shall deliver and help? But I thank God through Christ Jesus. Then the next slide, he talked about, he said, it's necessary to lay aside every unnecessary burden of the areas of our flesh. In Hebrews 12:1, being aware of everything that was an easy entrapment. And I think, if we were walking through a field that was full of traps, and we got caught by one, we're a bit more careful the next time. But it doesn't seem to apply in the spirit realm. We just seem to go on and bang, 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 stumble and fumble through things. I really believe what Paul was saying here is just make sure that you set those things aside. And from that, I was meditating on that again after the service last week. And I'm going to cover something here that I didn't cover. What we don't deal with once it's been revealed to us by God or we've been convicted by the Spirit of God on, I actually sort of went over a few things in my own life and just praying about it. God said, what you don't deal with, you will continue to carry. You will carry it and it will be an entrapment to you forever. As long as you are prepared to hang on to it, it'll keep snaring you. And I went, oh, wow. And I sort of thought over a few areas that I'd struggled in over the years. And I thought, that's right. I haven't bothered to deal with it. I've just thought, oh, yeah, that's just me. Whether it's been a temper thing or whether it's been some of the things I've called myself, and I'm very hard on myself. I really am at times. And if I do something and it doesn't work out the way it should have because I haven't thought it through initially or haven't done it right or I've overlooked a step or two in the process, I'm going, are you? And I give myself a serve. And God just said, you're undoing the work I've done in your life. You're not. You've been made righteous in me. Deal with what you call yourself because you are getting a wrong image of yourself on the inside. And you're carrying that. And I'm like, whoa. And so the next time you do something wrong or inadvertently or make a mistake, what you're carrying comes to the fore. And you repeat the process because you have got that underpinning image of you want everything to be right and perfect, but because you're not, you come down on yourself. Now, God didn't give it to me in such you know, exposed words, but he just showed me in form how that it's affecting me. And I went, Lord, I want to deal with that. And so I repent. I'm standing against that in the name of Jesus. I'm everything you made me to be, not who I see myself to be. And if I make a mistake, Lord, I'm going to come to you and say, well, God, I blew it again, but I'm thanking you that you're helping me and you're restoring me and I'll get it right. And I guess it's part and parcel of me wanting to just have everything, you know, done the way that I think it should be done. And at work, you know, sometimes I've done it and I've been guilty of that. When I've set a machine up and I've just looked at the wrong figures and had the wrong temperatures or something and I've gone off at myself because I haven't done it right, or I've overlooked a step in the calibrations, and I'm like, how do I manage that, you know? And I've come to the realization that what I don't deal with, I carry. And so that's a word of encouragement. Paul just said, who shall deliver me from it? My flesh is annoying me. I want to be delivered from it. How can I do it? I thank God I can do it through Christ Jesus. You know, and he took the step. And in Hebrews, it says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will divide asunder soul and spirit. Now, that's the only place anywhere that the soul and the spirit can be defined as two separated parts of our entity. I said last week, we live in a body, we have a soul, but we are a spirit, because God breathed into man the spirit or the breath. The word pneumo is spirit of life. And when Adam was breathed into by God, the spirit of God gave him life. And he was complete, body, soul, and spirit. But when he sinned, the spirit man lost its relationship with God. We're still a spirit, but we are not in communion with God until we come back to him and repent and give our lives to him. And we are, quote, born again. And that's where the spirit comes back to life. But then the conflict area of the soul, where it's had its own way for so long, just giving the body a signal to, you know, arc up or do whatever, and the body's gone, you know, and the soul hasn't had an argument. Now the spirit man comes in, especially when you're a young Christian, goes, we're born again, and the body's going, we'll see about that. You know, you've got this conflict area going on, and we need to govern ourselves and overcome the flesh in such a way that it doesn't dominate, and we live, we have a body, but we are spirit soul in existence, in reality. And that's an amazing revelation. If you can get hold of that, that's one of the criterias of overcoming. The thing with the sharp two-edged sword, we can use it to attack the enemy, we can use it to fight, we can use it to do whatever we need to do and quote the word of God, and it's our only weapon of attack in the armor that God gave us. But we've got to be careful that if we're using it on ourselves, we've got to deal with what we're fighting against. Because if you don't, when you draw it out, it's two-edged. It'll cut you to bits. Think about that. Plunging it in and saying, Father, I stand on your word in the name of Jesus. I'm going to overcome this area. But if you just turn around and say, God, you know, we're all over the place and not really sincere about what we're doing, as it's drawn out, it will actually cut the wound deeper. We need to use it so it's only cutting away what's wrong. Amen? And deal with the wounds and deal with the issue. So that's just a little area I didn't cover last week, and I had it there in my notes, I can probably bring it up again. But yeah, casting down imaginations on the next one was a very strong part of overcoming. We often have, and I guess having a picture of myself in a wrong area was an imagination. No, wrong one, that one. Next one, or previous one, I'm not sure which one it was. No, sorry. That was Paul's testimony of how he was a bad boy. But then he goes on and he teaches us on this one how to cast down imaginations, the thoughts that create images of temptations or temptation activities or wrong images of ourselves, and every high thing or illegal authority that's been allowed into our life that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and not just of God himself, but all that he is in me and all that he's provided for me to be in him. That was the scripture that twisted my head into thinking, God, why and how, and overcoming the wrong concepts, understandings, ideas, pictures or thoughts, and bringing into captivity every thought to be obedient to my surrender to the Lord Jesus. And Paul said to do that, and this was his encouragement, I do it constantly. I put everything that was in the past behind me, and I press towards the things that are ahead for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everything that he made me to be in him, I want to attain and live out. So next one's Darren. And that's where he talked about the things in the past. He said, I used to persecute the church beyond measure. I wasted it. I jailed the Christians. I was responsible for probably many dying. He did that in his natural fleshly life. And spiritually, if we don't stand against the wiles of the devil and be a strong overcomer, we can actually be doing crucifying our own spiritual life by not standing strong in the word of God. So Paul talked about how that once upon a time he wasted the church and now he was here building it up because God had got hold of him. And he pressed on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we quote scriptures and we understand things. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, or I'm the righteousness of God. I've been made holy, unblameable. And all those things, we can parrot them if we're not careful. But there's an attainment of a mark that those things become so precious to us that we start to say, God, I don't want to violate that in my life. And I want to overcome any area that has stopped me being a new creature in Christ Jesus, that prevents me from being wholly unblameable and unreprovable in your sight and in my sight as well, that prevents me from being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Those areas are pressing towards the mark, and we need to be serious about that, because everything God said we are in the scriptures, he doesn't waste his words. He is serious about saying who we are because he wants us to live in the benefits of that. And the benefits of that are a strong and confident life in Christ Jesus. It's just so amazing. So we need to be everything that he provided for us to be in him, and all that salvation gives us access to be in Christ Jesus, and in everything, take hold of it in reality and in practice and in being for the glory of God to be manifest in my life. So that was where we finished off last week. And the benefits of being an overcomer I mentioned a little while back. And there's not that many of us here, but we'll have to just probably share what I've got of these. I have a 4-page printout, which is interesting, as I was just going through a couple of things on the scriptures this week. And this totally blew me away. If you guys can share that, and you guys can share this one. Darren, your wife's got yours. So, but I did say that being an overcomer has the capacity in our lives that God puts a promise with every area of overcoming in the scriptures. And it's really quite amazing with the promises that God puts there. It's insane. Can I have the front lights on, please? Back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, God cut off their access to the tree of life. And he said, lest man should eat of it and live forever. He couldn't obviously let man in a sinful, fallen state have access to a provision that would cause him to live forever in that depraved state. And so he told man that they would surely die. And of course, we can't live forever in the sense, in the natural, without Christ coming back and resurrecting our mortal bodies. But it's interesting that in the scriptures it says, to him that overcomes, this is what he said to the Spirit, said to the churches, I will give to eat from the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And the tree of life is symbolic of eternal life, number one. But the main thing that the tree of life provides is our sustenance in God, the Word of God. There's our tree of life in its actual basic essence is the Word. And you know how some people can eat or read the Word and it's just like a novel or a book? And yet others read it and, oh my goodness, the words jump off the page. The words become reality. The words become life. And you go, wow. And I don't know how many times I've even read some scriptures and can quote them backwards almost. And then one day I'll read them and the Holy Ghost will just turn all the lights on that verse and it'll be like, wow, I never saw that before. And this is where the eating of the tree of life is so important. And it's a promise to people that are going to walk as overcomers and allow their spirit man to dominate. Because God can work on a living life that's in relationship with him. So to him that overcomes, here's a promise, I will give to eat of the tree of life. I think that's incredible. And so where it was cut off from mankind in Eden, it's restored to us. Not just through salvation, but through us then living a life as an overcomer. Paul's life, I think, reflected this because, you know, when Paul got saved, he was so fixated on the defense of the Hebrew scriptures and the Hebrew traditions. He thought this new Christian thing was an abomination because it was violating what they believed the scriptures said. And God got hold of him on that road to Damascus and took him aside. And if you read this, I think it's Colossians or Galatians, the first chapter there, where he says, how above measure I persecuted the church. But then he said, but God got hold of me. And for 14 years, I went away and didn't speak to any other Christians. I didn't fellowship with anyone. I just went alone with God. And that 14 years, I believe the Holy Spirit was taking him through. Now, you've got to remember, he only had the Old Testament scriptures. Didn't have the New Testament in those days. God took him through that and showed him the reality of who Christ was going to be all through the Bible and how the Bible's predictions and prophecies all pointed to Christ. And that's why God could use Paul to then write the New Testament the way that he did and all the letters that he did and give us that amazing insight into God's purposes and plans for the church. And he was just a guy who had known the scriptures physically, meant, you know, could probably quote a lot of them. And to be honest, I'm glad I wasn't born a Jew, because when you go to your bar mitzvah when you're 12 years old, you've got to quote, I think it's Exodus and Leviticus, virtually verbatim. That's your test. I couldn't even quote the first verse of either of those books, I don't think. You know, but that they have to learn that law by heart, those books of the law. And I've talked to a few Jewish people, and man, they can rattle those scriptures off in absolute perfection because they learn them before they're 12 years old. Isn't that amazing? You know, when Jesus went to the temple at 12, when they went up there and he was 12 years old, and he got into that dispute with the Jews there over the scriptures and what they really said. And he was there talking about things, and of course his parents went off home and didn't realize he was gone. I wish we could be like that sometimes, you know. By the age of 12, whoa. Yeah, it sort of makes you stop and think. And Paul could do that. And then God got hold of him and challenged him. So just an amazing thing. The second promise is you will not be hurt by the second death. And that's fairly obvious because he's talking to the churches there. And he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Wow. So there's something we can go into that we have no fear of. You know, this, and just to give you a picture of even doctors and nurses, and I remember being at a conference one day where a doctor was speaking, And he used this scripture and he said, do you know, he says, I have been in rooms where people have died constantly. And he said, I can always tell you when it's a Christian or a non-Christian that's leaving this life. He said, the peace of the Christians is amazing. He said, they just leave. You know, he said, sometimes they're in pain. We give them a shot of morphine, but they still don't have the trauma in their lives. He said, but an unbeliever, obviously as you're dying, you get a glimpse of what's beyond. The Christian's like, bring it on. But others are absolutely traumatized because all of a sudden they're facing something that either they knew existed and ignored or are now facing this horrible second aspect of life that they really wish they could have, didn't have to go into. I saw a YouTube clip a while back where a guy, he was giving a testimony of how he died and went to hell virtually, but God pulled him back. And he said he was actually going into this horrible pit, and he saw people there that he knew and recognized from his life that had died before him. And he said they were all yelling at him, go away, don't come to this place, don't come, it's just the worst, don't come. And they're all screaming at him. And all of a sudden, he said, God, I will serve you if you get me out of this. And he died on an operating table or something like that from memory. And next thing he knew, he was back in his body, and he recovered and woke up, and he went, I need someone to lead me to Jesus. You know, like, because he just knew. The guy who invented the Church of Satan, what was his name? Can't remember now, doesn't matter. But those who were present when he died said they've never witnessed a more traumatic death. He actually died and came back and died and came back. Whether he was in a hospital scenario or not, I'm not sure. But he's, keep me here! I don't want to go there. It's everything I never believed in. And, you know, and he's screaming out in just absolute torment. And he actually died and came back 4 or 5 times. And each time he was just more and more traumatized by what he saw beyond this world. You know, we have a promise as overcomers. We've got a place to go that's just waiting for us. And we're waiting for it. And we were made for a relationship with God. Whoa, it's not a trauma. And the promise is there. It's an extraordinary promise that the second death has no adverse hold on it. It's a life with God that we are fully to embrace. The third is to partake of the hidden manna, a white stone and a new name. Well, I'm telling you, this is more complex than I want to get into today. But to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a new name, and I will set a stone with a new name written, which no one knows except that guy who receives it. Well, that's a little bit deep and heavy for what I want to share today, but the whole thing is, I'll just touch on the hidden manna, and it's also akin to the very first one of the tree of life, because it's hidden from people who don't know about it. But I believe it's that revelation knowledge of the scriptures that God gives us more and more as we understand our life with him, walk with him, and study the word. The manna is typical and a type of the word of God in the scriptures. The new name, I believe we've got that. Whether it's revealed to us now or whether it's revealed to us in glory, I don't know. I don't really think it's pertinent to our, you know, I remember someone coming to me one day and they said that their daughters read this scripture. They had two girls. And they both said, oh, God must have given us a new name. So they both picked themselves a new name to live by. And I'm like, okay. And anyone who called them by their old name, man, you got an earful, because that is not me anymore. That was the old me. The new me is, and they quoted their new name. And I'm like, don't really think that's what that scripture meant, you know, because they just gave themselves a favorite new name. But the new name that God gives us, I believe, is named in Christ Jesus. And it's who we are in Him, not who we are in ourselves. So I don't take this literally, please. This is my own interpretation of it. I am Kenneth Jesus Lethborg. Because I'm part of us. I'm in Him and He's in me. And my new name is linked to Him, regardless of what my title and entity is here. I am in Him and He in me. So my new name is my affiliation with Christ Jesus. That's all I can say. And that's all I will have that. The white stone, not really 100% that that's there. But what does it say on this... this note, so I did see something on it, but I didn't want to actually touch on that anyway. Don't worry about that. The fifth one is an extraordinary one too. You've been given, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Oh, my Lord, how precious is that? My name is written in the book of life. That's there. If we are overcomer, our name will not be blotted out. What does that mean for those who are not blotted out? Who are not overcomers, I mean. I know people that have been Christians and have totally turned their back on God and left their whole spiritual life, and they were never overcomers, and I'm just wondering if the connotations of that in there are, if because you're not an overcomer, maybe you can be erased. Some people believe once you're saved, you're always saved. I've seen testimony of it in people's lives that really tells me that that's not true. So, and they've renounced whatever they knew of Christianity in God, which is just totally sad. Walked away from it and said, it's just a whole pile of nothing and I want nothing more to do with it. And I think from that viewpoint, they've lost whatever God gave them. So, but if we are an overcomer, we have an indefinite, indelible time with God. I think that's amazing. And the good part about that is that we're clothed with the righteousness of God, regardless of even when we walk in a bit of unrighteousness, God looks at us differently, which we got to understand. That's part and parcel of Paul saying, pressing towards the mark, having that status outworked in our lives. And then this is Jesus talking to John, and he says, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And you know, if you come before God, and sometimes we get this unworthy feeling, we get this I'm not good enough type thing, and the devil will even tell us that, and that's a lie. Remember, I told you the devil never tells you the truth. He's a liar from the beginning. But Jesus is our advocate with the Father. He is Christ Jesus, the righteous. And we can come before Him and He'll go, hey, there's my brother Ken. There's my brother Steve. There's my sister. And we're all acknowledged by Him and declared before the Father. Hey, angels, listen to the prayer. This is one of us. And we want you to work on his behalf. We have ministering spirits who work on behalf of those who are the heirs of salvation. I said this last week. You know, a person out there can use the name of Jesus in any form of blasphemy or whatever have you, and it will not raise an eyebrow in the spirit realm. But a born-again believer says, Father, in the name of Jesus, and every angel within the sound of my voice comes to attention. Who said that? What does he want? And where do we go from here? They're ready to act on our behalf. And that's what ministering spirits are, who are ministering on behalf of those who are the heirs of salvation. Use that name, Jesus, with wisdom. And always remember, you have got the hordes and hosts of heaven on your side the minute you use that name, Jesus, as a child of God. That's powerful. You can go through the notes on that. That's number five. And all of these are incredible. The fifth extraordinary promise of being an overcomer comes from Revelation. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out or out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. I'm telling you, this is an amazing picture of Christ coming for his church as well. But he makes us a pillar in the temple. He makes us a strong part, a stronghold in the church. The pillars in the temple, you remember when Samson got out there and said, can I just feel the pillars of the temple? And they're taunting him and he's under the bondage of the Philistines. And he gets the two main pillars and the strength has returned and he just broke those pillars out and pushed them apart. The whole thing collapsed and there's more people died in his death, including him, than he'd killed all during the times that he fought the Philistines and beat up armies and took out 1,000 men here and 10,000 there. That day he wiped out and made the Philistine army pretty well oblivious. But the pillar in God's temple is a strength and a support to the whole church. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar. And I want to be a pillar in the temple. I want to stand strong for other people. I want to stand strong for those who are new Christians. I want to stand strong for those who need someone to stand with them in prayer. I want to stand strong for those who are struggling. I want to stand strong for those who need encouraging. I want to stand strong for those who are suffering and sick and need healing. And I want to be a pillar in the temple for my God so that those others aren't always in that state of weaknesses, but they become strong through me imparting my strength into their lives. And I think God has made me strong in his word, where I can stand firm, stand strong because of that heart that I have to be strong for, not just for myself, but for the church of God and for others that need to be strengthened by encouraging and by prayerful and intercessory work and all that. We need to be that type of person as an overcomer, to be a strength. And of course, that solidifies us in the kingdom. And upon us is written that name of my God and the name of the city. There's that name thing coming up again. That's a name that God gives and puts on us. And part and parcel of you're solidified in the New Jerusalem, which is called the Bride of Christ as it comes down from heaven later on in Revelation. And I will write on him my new name. Whoa. So maybe that's a picture of the new name becoming a part of our eternal destiny with God. And it says the new name is there, just as the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. I'm excited by that, but I think it's got a functionality in the here and now for us to be strong for the Lord and for others around us. Amen? Well, that's pretty cool, but let me have a look at that in a daily practical explanation for today. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have been translated and we sit with him in heavenly places, according to the scriptures. So I'm standing here in Gisborne in Menarche talking to you guys at the moment, but I am physically or spiritually seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm above principality, power, dominion, and him. So if he's up there and I'm up there, all of those things are beneath me. Why should I be subject to them? I got to overcome them. Amen. But then it says, I will cause him to sit in my throne. And you know, the Bible tells us that those who are in Christ will rule and reign in life. Ruling and reigning is a position of where we sit with him on the throne, if we're an overcomer. I believe he gives us that capacity to take control of life and its situations and its adversities and so forth, etc. And we stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We've put on our armor and we reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Now, do I reign in life in every area? Not yet. There are areas that I've conquered and overcome, and I know I reign over them because they no longer have a hold on me. They no longer are a bother to me. They no longer have a temptation to me. It's completely oblivious. Any of those things, you know, the devil can even come and say to me, oh, yo, hey, I remember when, and I'm going, that's the old me. I'm not guilty in the name of Jesus. It has no hold on me. I'll reign over that because I surrendered it to the Lord. I've overcome it. It's no longer mine. And in Jesus' name, shut your trap and get out of here. You know, sort of, I won't listen to his lies because he tries to make it look like I'm still under bondage. He tries to make it look like that I'm still, you know, not an overcomer. And that's just not it. You have to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and put on the armor in those things. And so ruling, and I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I overcame. Did you see that? I will grant with him to sit on my throne. To him that overcomes, I will grant with me to sit on my throne as I also overcame. You know, at the cross, he overcame everything that the devil had instituted. He overcame everything that was adverse and against mankind. And he completely obliterated it. And he said, no, Kev, if you come to me, I'll give you the capacity and the keys of the kingdom to be able to overcome all of that in your life. And so, just as he overcame and sat with his Father at the right hand, he will give those who overcome that capacity to rule and reign with him in life in Christ Jesus. I think that's just insane. That's today in a nutshell, but those notes are for you to go through and to glean from and to study up and whatever you want to do with them. But I have another set here if someone else wants one, to take one for anyone, because it's here if someone else needs it. So there's more there, is there? Oh, that's spare too. All right, so if you want a spare set of notes, there's one here and there's one here. So, and anyone who needs or wants to have a set, or if Nikki wants her own set, let her know. But that is just the most amazing study on what God promises us if we are determined and as overcomers. Now, that's great having those promises, but I'll tell you what, the best is yet to come. And hopefully I'll get onto that in the next week or so and share that with you. So today's over. Have an awesome week. God bless you and live the life of an overcomer, because it has amazing rewards. Glory to God.